Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for joining us on Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Bharati Jagdish with you today. Now, as more countries proceed with gradual optimism, reflecting in their relaxation of measures and calling workers back to the office, people are starting to have to again figure out what works best for them. And planning to and heading back into life as we once knew, well, of course, it will come with extreme stress and it could affect so many people's mental health. And I've seen this happen among the people I know as well. Socialization in office settings might be a huge task for those who have been avoiding contact or conversations with colleagues for a prolonged period of time, or people who just got comfortable working at home. So in light of all of this, we're going to be talking with Lynette Xiao. She's co-founder and COO of something called Safe Space. It's a service that aims to help individuals out with their mental health journeys. We can talk all about how employees can navigate and adapt towards the post-pandemic newer normal, as some people put it. Hi, Lynette. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Brody. Thanks for having me.
So this is a very topical issue, right? And I'm sure that you have a lot of people coming to you and saying, wow, this has been tough. First, we had to adjust to isolation at home. Now we have to adjust to being reintroduced into this space. Not all of us liked that space to begin with. So tell me more about what you have observed. How have new post-pandemic requirements shaped the way workers are impacted, their mental health in particular?
Yeah, it never ends, right? It's like first we got thrown into a pandemic, if we had to adjust to moving, working from home, and now we've got to adjust to the transition back, and it's just like it's like a non-stop onslaught of changes and transitions. What we found and what we see happening on the ground is that burnout and anxiety are running high as people return to the office after the pandemic. They've gotten used to the new normal of kind of working from home most of the time for the past year and a half, and this change and getting used to actually interacting with people in person and even now with their masks off can be something to adjust to. And that this has impact on people's mental health. There's a McKinsey study that states that one in three employees said that their return to workplace has had a negative impact on their mental health, causing them increased instances of anxiety, depression, or just general distress.
Wow. Would you be able to share a specific example of distress that you might have seen among some of your clients? Of course, don't name names, but just to illustrate the magnitude of this problem for some people.
Yeah. So, for example, there could be people who took up new jobs during the pandemic and with the promise of the expectation of being fully remote and working from home. And arranging what we see a lot of the tension between the workplace arrangements and household arrangements. So it could be especially involving childcare. So suddenly I have a new setup kind of with this for my kids and their school schedule and all that. And maybe suddenly I have to travel for work again now that, you know, travel is open and all that. And that just throws a spanner in the works for my plans. And this is not something that I'm used to anymore.
Yeah, I can totally understand. The thing is, mental health has been destigmatized to some extent ever since COVID-19. I do believe that a lot of corporates are also getting in line and realizing the importance of helping their employees through all of this. And so they are getting in touch with companies like yours and others in order to get the help. So tell me more about what your experience with corporates has been like. Do they sincerely care about their employees? Do they really want to make meaningful mental health interventions? Or are they just doing it because now it's become a KPI or a requirement for the HR department?
Actually, in all honesty, I would say overwhelmingly, all the companies that we've been speaking to and working with have been really authentic when they're coming to us and ask for help. They're really saying, like, we recognize that our employees are in distress and might need some help, and we really want to help them. So I do think that the intention is very authentic. There are many negatives of the pandemic, of course, but well, yes, one positive is the destigmatization of the conversation around mental health and increasing the interest in it from the corporate point of view. What's lacking right now is still a bit of an education piece, both from the individual in terms of as somebody who might be struggling a little bit with my mental health, when do I know how to see a therapist, or should I be seeing a therapist, and or what kind of help is even accessible to me.
We're speaking with Lynette Xiao, co-founder and COO of Safe Space. So tell me how you come in here in order to help all of these individuals at least get started on a journey of better mental health.
So we provide a platform that matches clinical therapists with individuals. Currently have over 170 individual therapists, clinical therapists that cater to over 15 languages that are able to support a variety of issues for individuals. And we also partner with a lot of corporates who provide employee assistance programs for their employees. But we work with them in a kind of partnership, right? So that kind of guide you through the whole process of firstly assessing what your employees actually need and being able to provide that support as well. And then also seeing what is the impact that partnering with Safe Space has had on your workforce and on your employees. And we've been very encouraged by these numbers. We see it every quarter. We measure every quarter, and over 75% of our users report that using Safe Space has had a better impact on their mental well-being as compared to other solutions. And over 91% of users also agreed that they would recommend Safe Space to a friend or a peer in need of counseling service.
The thing is, a lot of companies like yours have emerged since the COVID-19 pandemic. Mental health tech, right? So a lot of people also might worry that, hey, you guys are tech guys, you know, what do you know about mental health? But you do have a whole stable of psychologists and psychiatrists, don't you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I come from a tech background myself. It's sexy to talk about the tech and all that, but we are very anchored, as a company, we're very anchored in the purpose of what we do, which is focus on the mental health aspect and improving that, right? Technology should be a means to an end, not the end in itself. And therefore, even though, yes, there's mental health tech, we are part of it, we are still very conscious and we do value the human touch around it. So, for example, we have no intention to replace therapists or automate the whole process such that, tech becomes the overall solution to it. But how do we facilitate that human interaction between an individual and putting to help you?
You want to do this, Lynette? I mean, you could have used your tech skills in so many other ways. What made you want to apply it to the mental health space?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite questions to answer.
Don't say the money, yeah? That won't be good, but I'm sure it's more than that.
No, not at all. Yeah, so I was previously in an MNC, pretty comfortable job in tech, and I found the work intellectually stimulating, but never kind of like soul satisfying. That was it from a work perspective. And then for me personally, in 2015, one of my close childhood friends committed suicide. So that made mental health what was previously, I guess, an intellectual topic that, like, yes, it's prevalent and all that. It made it very real to me. And just in the process of processing that grief and reacting to that and kind of trying to make sense of something unpleasant that had happened, it made me want to make a difference in this space. And this course for me is just something that I want to spend my career building up and whatever skills I have, making a difference in this space.
To the extent that you are comfortable sharing, have you been going through any sort of challenges in the last few years, especially during COVID-19? And of course, you know, as an entrepreneur, have you had personal encounters and challenges with mental health issues?
Yeah, for sure. And I've also used a Safe Space therapist before. And we're going to try what we built, right? Yeah, for sure.
So what was it, and did it work? Did the therapy work?
My personal experience with therapy has been going on and mental health has been going on for many years. And I started actually with text-based therapy. That was very low, and this was maybe, I don't know, 5 years ago, perhaps, probably around the time of the suicide, right? So 5 years ago, I used a US-based, text-based chat kind of therapy session. And that did lower the barrier of entry for me to try to speak to somebody and open up about my feelings and what I was going through, which is very rare at that time, especially in our society. It was good in terms of it got me over the first stage, but it was not very helpful, I guess, in terms of sustainability and helping me build more sustainable habits. So since then, throughout the years, I have had the privilege to meet a couple of good psychologists and psychiatrists at different points of my life that have been able to help me through various issues. But it is a two-way, I will say it is a two-way process. It's kind of like if you're going to a gym trainer for personal training, right? If you're not going to put in the effort to do the exercises or commit or be fully present during the session, you're also not going to get the full returns from it.
Yeah, you've got to also decide how far you want to take it and how much you want to be committed to it in order for it to succeed. Now, as we're talking about the corporate environment and corporate mental health, a lot of people I've spoken to have said that actually what would really help their state of mind is if they had better leaders, if they had better managers, better bosses, colleagues who weren't so toxic. So this goes towards corporate culture and leadership development, doesn't it? To what extent should all of these other things be looked at just as much as, if not more than just, you know, fixing the mental health issues after they have set in? If you want to get to the heart of the problem, to the source of the problem in many cases, you really do just need to fix those things, don't you?
I don't think they're independent, actually. I think they're super linked.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people tell me that the source of their mental health issue is their boss. So, you know.
Yeah, so maybe like from a principle of training, start with assuming your boss is also trying their best. They might not know what the best is. And then that becomes an information or an education gap. And that's how we work with corporates. We conduct leadership workshops to cover topics around like how do you identify burnout in your team? And then how do you deal with it? And then, yeah. So starting with the principle of charity, where you're not assuming that your boss service is a horrible person who's just out to get you, it also helps that your receptiveness to whatever they're going to try to do. Yeah. And then for the company itself, HR and the leadership and all that, to put the budget and the intention behind focusing and bringing in partners like ourselves and partners to help out, to educate and upskill their leadership team to also an overall goal of improving the working experience for everybody.
Yeah, because leaders do need to have a lot of self-awareness. And I often feel that, you know, if you guys just fixed a few things about your corporate culture, I think you will have more mentally healthy individuals, you know, or mentally healthier individuals. So in your experience in this space, what do you see lacking at this point that needs to be urgently addressed in order to have all of this really continue? Right now, I'm seeing a lot of momentum being built. But for it to be sustainable, I'm sure more needs to be done. It can't just be one of those things that companies got into after COVID-19 and then forgot about, you know?
There are some habits. So firstly, so what is sustainable? One is habits and second is proven results, right? So in terms of habits, it's more of like a mindset change where everybody understanding that kind of, I think the pandemic did help us relate to each other on a more personal level. I mean, if you're having calls from home and your kid runs into the frame of the camera while you're having a call, that happens. And I do think we actually have become more human with the pandemic to a certain extent. So extending that. Secondly, providing the opportunities for education, both, like I said, on the leadership and the corporate level, as well as the individual level, is to also voice up when they need help. On the corporate level, it's also supporting your employees internally as well as providing external help, through partners like Safe Space. And thirdly, is measuring the impact. Constantly checking in both qualitatively and quantitatively with for example, your workforce and your employees or your department or your team in terms of how they're doing. So, for example, maybe your progress reviews, your quarterly progression review should not just be about what have you done, but how are you doing?
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's really important. And then knowing how to deal with the answers that you get. And perhaps leaders themselves, too, would need that sort of mental health help that we have been talking about. Therapists, too. I do know that C-suite leaders feel a lot of pressure these days. Any unique pressures that you have witnessed among those leaders? And what can be done to help people at that level?
Yeah, for sure. So I think this is just personal for me. What has resonated a lot, especially over the last year and a half since embarking on this, is really around authentic leadership. I guess I used to have an impression that leaders need to be a certain way. They need to kind of have all the answers or appear a certain way, not be faced by anything. The power I have experienced in being open about challenges, both in terms of problems they cannot solve or I'm still trying to figure out, as well as personal challenges where it could be something like they're a never-ending to-do list that is maybe causing me anxiety. Just being open about that to your team, it makes them feel more comfortable to be authentic with you as well. I don't see this at all as being vulnerable. I think being authentic actually makes you stronger because you're taking away that if you don't think it's you're being made vulnerable by doing this, it has no power of you. It's just, yeah, I'm just being authentic and it's fine.
Being human, sometimes that is the best thing to do. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lynette. Really appreciate your time. Lynette Siow, co-founder and COO of The Safe Space. Thanks for joining us on Primetime.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.